This is the MegaCon Experience, a collection of sermons from our global conference held in Benin City, Nigeria. We hope you're blessed by these messages.
Bishop, my mom, who should be coming out shortly, by the grace of God, without literally who I would not be. So I'm grateful to God. I thank you, Mom, for your love, for your compassion, for your support, not only in word, but also in deed. To the rest of my family, God bless all of you. Thank you to CGMI, to the bishops, all our coordinators, to each and every one of you listening to me here in person and online. Thank you all for the opportunity. I'm also grateful to my team and to the volunteers without whom we would be able to do this work. So in 2016, I met one of our survivors. Her name is Sarah. She was a young lady who had just been repatriated back to Nigeria after being trafficked to Russia. So please take just a few minutes to listen to her story.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I was trafficked from Nigeria to Russia. It was not a nice experience at all. My younger ones were six in numbers, so you can imagine the hardship. There was no uncle, there was no auntie to help us. We hardly eat or do anything. I left school. I was no longer going to school. I left. I went to be working for a very low price, 4,000 naira a month. So I had to manage. One day I was in that shop. Somebody came to buy something. And like, you're a very fine girl, young girl. Would you like to travel? At least have a better life and help your family. They'll give you good education and everything. So I went to church. I went to tell my pastor about it. He only asked me that, where am I going? I told him, I said, it's concerning education. The process started, we are doing it. It came and I had to move. Before then, they took me to somewhere to make an oath. And they said, if I'm able to go to that school and they are doing whatever they are doing, I'll have to pay my madam in return. I agreed because they did tell me actual thing I'm going to do there. I agreed. They had to mark all over my body, took my fingernails, took hair from my private parts, took some things away from me, my panties. They took it all. I had to drink raw blood from animal and eat the heart. That night, they took me from the airport. I went home. As I was going, I was seeing girls at the street. I was not asking, who are these people? They said, they are just chilling outside. Say, yeah, they're staying inside the cold. Said, nothing, they are just chilling. Maybe they are just chilling. I said, okay, I went to the house. I go to the house, I met some girls, they were so much. I said, okay. I was not scared, I didn't see anything. Then the next day, I was just chilling, I was resting. The madam said, come and go to work. I was like, what kind of work? I thought I came here to go to school. She laughed at me and said, which school? She said in Pidgin, which kind of school you want to go for here? I bet you think that they can't play for here. I felt so much pain in me. It was not a nice experience. You will see men harassing you. You can sleep up to 15 men a day. You stay inside the cold. You'll be there. For that past year, it was not nice. Some will embarrass you. They will beat you up. They will do all sorts of things to you. I had no option than to stay. It was a really bad experience for me. But I just want to advise mothers and fathers, anyhow you can help your child, including pastors, churches, always try, show love to any person you can help. There is always a way out. You can help that person. You can't afford education. There's work. Who Look at me. I'm a proud baker today. I bake. I do other things.
I want to appreciate God Almighty. And I want to appreciate Pathfinders for it's a great gift to my life. The best thing that ever happened to me are Pathfinders. I want to really appreciate you guys for making out effort to help me to this stage. You did not stop at where I was learning my skills, doing my craft. They also bought these working tools for me. I have my mixer, I have my oven, I have pans, I have scale, so many things to work with. I really want to appreciate them. I want to thank you all for listening to my story. May God bless you all in Jesus' name. Thank you very much. My Instagram page is Choice Cakes. You can go. This whole thing is not RNG. I'm saying it from experience. Thank you, Pathfinders, for giving me another life to smile. Today, I'm very proud of myself. And I know my mother there, Barrister Ruth, you are so proud of me. God bless you, ma. God bless Church of God Mission. Thank you very much, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Lord. So in May of 2020, Uwa Mozuwa was a 22-year-old Uniben student who was studying in a church here in Benin when she was brutally raped and murdered. How many of you heard of that story? You know, even though six people were arrested, a year later, there's still been no justice for Uwa or for her family. The reality in Nigeria is that one in every four girls, so look at four women next to you, one in every four women next to you, and one in every 10 boys, one in every 10 men next to you has been sexually molested. One in every three women has suffered either physical or sexual assault in their lifetime. Domestic violence affects 35% of all women. There are more girls that are trafficked from Nigeria into Europe than any other African country. Organ harvesting is on the rise. Kidnapping is on the rise. Banditry is on the rise. But how many know that God has called us to speak that which is not? To put into the atmosphere what it is that we believe. And so I join my voice with the voice of the Archbishop and to the thunderous crowd and chorus of saints, like we prayed the other night, who believe that the change that we want to see in Nigeria is going to start, and it's going to start with the church. So I would like to spend the rest of my time speaking to you about the church being a safe haven, being a safe space, because that is part of our purpose. That is what we have been called to do, to be a safe haven, to create a safe haven. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, records a story that many of us are rather familiar with. It is the story of a blind man, blind Bartimaeus, who was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd coming by, the Bible says that he asked them what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, we don't know what he had heard about Jesus, but we know that whatever it was caused faith to rise up within him, and it caused him to shout out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible records that those who were beside him, please let's give honor to whom honor is due, the Archbishop, my mama, the ever beautiful, the ever amazing, the ever incredible Archbishop Margaret Benton Idahosa, our Papa in the Lord, Bishop David Oyedigbo, let's welcome him. You're welcome, Bishop. You're welcome, Bishop Feb. You're welcome, Bishop Elect. You're welcome, Bishop Wale. Welcome. God bless all of you. You're welcome, my beautiful sister, Pastor Frida Idahosa Ajayi. You're welcome. Thank you. Please be seated. So I was saying that the Bible records that as Jesus was walking by, blind Bartimaeus, faith within him arose and he screamed out, yelled out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so I've often wondered why he chose that term, Son of David. But we see from biblical scholars that that term is a messianic title. When people refer to Jesus as a Son of David, they meant that he was the long-awaited deliverer, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. He was their hope. And so when blind Bartimaeus used the phrase, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, what he was saying was that he was calling out to his hope. And there's a beautiful line in the story. It says that Jesus stopped and he turned his gaze on him and he beckoned for him to come. And the Bible records that he threw off his garment. And in my mind, I imagine him running to Jesus, because there was no time for a dignified walk. There was no time for a dignified sway. The Lord Jesus Christ, the master of the universe, was calling him. And he came up to Jesus and Jesus said to him, what would you have me do? And he said, Lord, I want to see. And Jesus says to him, go thy way, thy faith has made you whole. And the Bible records that immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the way. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, God, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, the Bible records that there was a crowd. And there were many other beggars around him, right? But he sought to inquire. He sought to ask what was happening. Now, how did Jesus hear him among the crowd? I believe that what Jesus heard was faith. What Jesus heard was an act of worship. Because when you direct your cry to God, that in and of itself becomes an act of worship. Because what you're doing is that you're saying, Jesus, you have the capability to do what it is that I'm asking you to do. You're saying, Jesus, you are able. Even your groan, Jesus, as long as you're directing it to him, it becomes an act of worship. And he hears you because you're saying, God, you are capable, you are able, you are beyond my imagination to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can ask, I can think, or even imagine. The Bible says that Jesus not just stopped, but he waited. Jesus waited for him, because there's a big difference between stopping and then waiting. Jesus waited for him, and as I said, the Bible says that he threw off his garments and he ran, and that was symbolic, because he was throwing off his fear, he was throwing off his shame, he was throwing off the stigma, and running into the presence of God, running into hope, running into possibility when he came into the presence of Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave him the space for vulnerability when he said, what would you have me do? Jesus brought wholeness when he said, your faith has made you whole. And in the original Greek, Jesus uses the word sozo. Sozo. He says, your faith has sozoed you. It is the same word that he used for the unnamed woman with the issue of blood when she pressed into him, when he said to her, your faith has made you whole. And so in the original Greek, that word sozo means not just to heal. It means to save, to protect, to preserve. It is to bring peace. It is to set at one again. So not only did his interaction with Christ bring him physical healing, it also brought him sozo, salvation, preservation, wellness, wholeness, and peace. And meaning that salvation, that restoration, came not just to him. The Bible says it came to him and his house. To him and his house. And so right away, the man, Jesus says, was able to see, and he came down the road with him. He then became empowered to be a credible witness. Everywhere he went, his sight began to lead people back to Jesus. And so we see from the story that Jesus himself became a safe space. Acts 1:8 says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Your mere being, when you walk into a space, brings hope, it brings light, it brings power, it brings authority. Just your being in a space brings all of those things. And so we, as children of the Most High God, we are game changers. We should be a safe haven. And so how does the church then become a safe haven for the broken, for the wounded, for the downtrodden? The first thing is that we ourselves, particularly our leaders, have to be safe ourselves. It should go without saying, but don't abuse members of your congregation. Don't engage in trafficking. Don't harass, don't rape, don't molest the people that God has placed under your care. We must abide by the principle of do no harm. Secondly, less judgment. Less judgment, more love. You don't see Jesus asking blind Bartimaeus, are you tay blind? Now your papa now make you blind. Your mama now make you blind. Are you tay rich there? Jesus was not asking those kind of questions. Jesus loved him into wholeness. The third thing is that the church must be clear on our stance on evil. We must be clear on our stance on evil. We must maintain a zero tolerance policy on violence, regardless of who it is coming from. There should be no one that is exempt. There should be no one that is off limits. There should be no cover-ups. We must address evil head on. We must expose it. And then we must condemn it. The fourth thing is that you have to be proactive. Learn the signs. Learn the signs of domestic violence. Learn the signs of sexual violence. Learn the signs of human trafficking so that you can see it happening in real time and actually do something in real time. Secondly, part of our purpose is that the church is to create a safe space. So you're not just called to be a safe space. You must create a safe space. We see Jesus doing this with the unnamed Samaritan woman at the well. She was someone who the Jews at the time considered perpetually unclean. We tend to think of her as a promiscuous woman. One ashawo, she have had five husbands, right? Am I the only one who used to think that way? Okay. But let's look at the reality in the context at the time. We know that back then, a woman's livelihood was tied to a man. Women could not divorce men. So it's possible that some of her husbands could have died. It's possible that she could have been married to her husband's brothers, as was the tradition back in that time. But I love that Jesus created a safe space for her. In fact, she was shocked. The Bible records that not only did Jesus have to go through Samaria, but that she said to Jesus, me and you, we're not at the same level. What do you, a Jew, have to do with me, a Samaritan woman? But Jesus welcomed her in her vulnerability. He engaged with her in love in a way that she had never experienced. He saw her, not her ethnicity, not her gender, not her history, not her past. He saw her. He saw her and he loved her. He created a safe space for her, so much so that she too began to bear witness to the goodness, to the grace, to the mercy of God. And so in the same way, the church must curate a safe space for survivors of violence, for the broken, for the weak, and for the downtrodden. How do we do that? It means that you have to use your platform the same way that Jesus did. This is not your personal business. You cannot run this the way that you run your personal business. This space is sacred. It's sacred. When you step onto the pulpit, it's an opportunity for you to be an ambassador. You represent the Most High God. Yes, Jesus brought a message of salvation. But even before that, what do we see Jesus doing? Jesus ministers to the immediate needs of the people before him. We see Jesus healing the sick. We see him feeding the hungry. We see him binding up the brokenhearted. We see him offering compassion and forgiveness to sinners. So much so that he was known as the friend of sinners. This space is not just about collecting tithes and offerings. Can I get an amen? Hey, this space is not about amassing as many letters behind your name as possible. So everybody, everywhere you go, bishop, evangelist, everybody carrying this, carrying that. This is not what this space is about. Thank you. This is not what we're here to do. We are here to love the broken. We are here to bring sozo, wholeness, healing, restoration, peace, and not just for the broken, but for them and their house. Thank you, Jesus. And so this means creating empowerment programs for women and girls so that they don't have to sell their bodies to feed their children or to go to school. It means bringing Bishop Febb's vision, which is he's calling the Healing Commission to life, a space where survivors of rape and sexual violence can get judgment and free support from the church. It means volunteering our churches for outreaches, for counseling, for peer-to-peer mentoring, for returnees to host their meetings. It means dedicating one Sunday a month. Can you imagine dedicating one Sunday a month to ask your church members, what do you need from me? Instead of forcing series number 99 out of 300. We done series Unataya. series, Bishop Wale. That's a family joke. Please don't take it personally. We love you on your series. But it's serious, on a serious note, it means asking questions. When your church members come to you and say, I'm traveling, ask questions. Don't ask for money. Ask questions. Where are you going? Who's taking you? How are you getting there? What will you be doing when you get there? Ask questions. It also means conducting trainings for men and for boys so that they stop raping women. They stop raping girls. Instead of judging girls and asking them, what were you wearing? What were you doing there? Why were you there? Train your men and boys to stop raping us. We must stop telling women who are getting beaten and battered to the point of death, stay there. God hates divorce. You know what else God hates? He hates murder. God hates abuse. He hates taking advantage of vulnerable people. So please, find a space for that woman. Counsel the husband. Instead of telling the woman to stay there till she dies, find a space of healing for her. Counsel her husband. Nobody's telling you to get divorced, but don't tell your women who are getting beaten, who are showing up with broken bones, black eyes, stay there. God hates divorce. He hates murder. He hates abuse. He hates vulnerability. Please, let's teach. I can't imagine that Jesus would condone domestic violence, and neither to the church. It means using your platform to raise awareness. It means addressing the things that are pressing on the hearts of your congregation members. Some people here have not eaten today. Can you imagine that? And you are here telling them, bring your money, bring your that. Feed them! Feed them! God have mercy. God have mercy. Finally, before they cut off my mic, I hope you invite me back next year. Finally, the church should be a referral mechanism. We see in the stories that I mentioned of both blind Bartimaeus and the unnamed woman at the well. There's always something about, you know, all these stories in the Bible where the woman is unnamed. What was up with that? Eh? What was up with that? There is dignity in naming somebody. When you call somebody a name, my Yoruba name is Ronti Ade. My mom calls me that all the time. Ronti Ade me. Ronti Ade me. It means remember the crown. It means that when she calls me and she tells me, remember the crown, my confidence, everything rises up. Remember, hey, that is who I am. Ronti Ade me. So when we see all these women in the Bible without names, what was up with that? Because who is doing a revised CGM version of the Bible? Let's add some names, please, for these women. But we see in the Bible that Jesus empowered these women, empowered these men to become credible witnesses, right? So everywhere they went, they spoke about the goodness and the mercy of God. And I love to tell the story about the man who was healed, who was outside, who his friends lowered down. Remember that story where Jesus was speaking, and they lowered him down through the roof. And after Jesus heals him, he says, "Arise, take up your mat and walk." And my brother and I talk about it, and I said, "Why did he still need the mat?" The mat had been something that represented what had held him bound for decades and years. Why would Jesus say to him, "Arise, carry your mat and walk"? And one day the Holy Spirit showed me that mat became a representation of the goodness, of the grace, of the power, the authority of God. So everywhere he went with the mat, people would see him. Ah, isn't that the guy with the mat? Isn't that the guy with the mat? And every opportunity he had, he was able to say, "Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, picked me up. He turned me around and he set my feet on solid ground." So don't be ashamed of your mats. Whatever God has healed you from, whatever God has delivered you from, carry your mats boldly. Show the world, "I am a testimony of the living God, of one is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think." That is a God that I serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So carry your mat, my dear. No shame, no shame, no stigma. God has restored you. God has healed you. God has placed your feet on solid ground. No shame, no shame, no shame. So if you're a church leader here, please, we're available. We're available for training. We're available to come to your place of worship, to share with you how to protect the sheep that God has placed in your hand, because you will give account. You will give account to the Most High God. For every person that God placed under your care, you will give account. We're available. You'll see my staff around. They're wearing our beautiful t-shirts and our cards. They're going to be handing them out. So if you know somebody who could use our support in training at your church, please take a card. You will see them around. Please go ahead, team. And let me just say one more thing. If you are a predator, if you are an abuser, know that innocent blood has a voice, and it cries out for vengeance to God. And if you are in CGM, we will find you. We will find you. Take my word for it. And finally, to those who the church has disappointed, to those who the church has hurt, to those who the church has let down, the church has abandoned, we have not believed you, we've invalidated your stories, please forgive us. Forgive us. You have my word, we will do better. And if you're a survivor, if you've survived rape, if you've survived trafficking, if you've survived any kind of sexual assault, sexual violence, please know that it was not your fault. We have a God who sees you. We have a God who sees you. God is a healer, and he's able to heal you. He's able to transform you. He's able to give you beauty for ashes. And so if you're here and you need help, my team is still walking around. Please take one of our cards. Or if you know somebody that needs help, take one of our cards and pass it along. Our information should also be on the screen. We celebrated our 7-year anniversary in July. Can somebody give God praise for that? 7 years, the NGO work is no joke. But over those 7 years, we've been able to provide support for over 2,500 women. We have reached millions of people with our message to reach one and create a path for many. And so if our work resonates with you, if there was something about what I was saying today that you feel the need to support us in what we're doing, 100% of the proceeds that are donated will go to the work. None of it goes to me. Like my mom likes to say, tell them you are not hungry. I'm not hungry. 100% of the proceeds goes to the work that we're doing. So please support us as we find healing and shalom and bring hope and grace and restoration to people. Thank you so much for the opportunity. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Thank you for that standing ovation. I'm not going to talk about what she talked about because it was simple enough for everyone to understand. And if you have been abused and you have been trafficked to anywhere and you are back home, there is hope for you. There is a platform for you. A platform to start and begin again in the name of Jesus Christ. I brought her to stand here. Our theme this year is Discover to fulfill. She's a trained lawyer, partner in America. It's like our son here on a 6-digit salary. But listen, I'm not telling you about that to clap. She discovered why she is existing. She discovered her purpose and left what she is trained for. Left that job. No, left that job. Yes, it's job. Left that job and took up her Bible. Lord, what will you have me do? She discovered a platform and she left that. She didn't think of how will I feed? How will my home be? How will I feed the children? But she discovered her purpose. That is why we are here today. If you have not discovered why you are alive, this is the platform for you to discover. And many, many have discovered their purpose, but they don't know how to go about it. This is an example. When she left her job, many, many people said, why? Why should you leave? Why? She knew exactly that she has discovered the thing that God has given her. Why she is alive. And not only that, she invested. Oh, I wish I would have time, just 10, 15 minutes to share with you. She invested in that thing. She went about, Mom, what does Daddy call me? I said, Daddy calls you Pathfinder. Because when he was alive, anywhere Daddy was in, on this planet Earth, Barrister Ruth, we find out and we call. That is why she has the name Pathfinder. She invested in her purpose. Invested time, invested money, invested, name it. She studied about it. And today she is what she is. Why? Because she has discovered her purpose. Thank you very, very much. We are proud of you. And I am proud of you in particular because you are my first girl. And for you to stand and be doing what you are doing now. I know that Daddy up there now is drawing the curtain and looking at you and say, that's my daughter. That's my daughter. Amen. And we, the family, we are proud of you. I want you to know it. We are proud of you for discovering what you are made for discovering what you are wired for discovering the end from the beginning. Praise the Lord. I want her to pray. Those of you that you need the prayer, maybe you have somebody that has been trafficked. You have somebody that has been sexually abused. You know somebody who falls into the realm of what she spoke this morning. You can stand or you just raise your hand and she can pray. She will be here in the afternoon to give counsel with her people. When we were coming, he said, Mommy, these are my people. I said, they are mine too. He said, yes, they are. Amen. Please, we are here to help you. We are here to help you. And for those pastors that cannot zip up their trouser, when you see a girl in figure eight in your church, remember what she said.
We will find you.
We will locate you. We will find you. Wherever you are, we will find you. If you are in the choir, we will find you. If you are in the church, we will find you. If you are anywhere, we will find you. And help you. Not to condemn you, but help you. Amen? So let's pray. Those people that are affected, don't be ashamed. There is a platform for you. There is hope for you. There is deliverance for you. In the name of Jesus. I want you to pray now. Those people, just bow your heads while she prays.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just call you who you are. The Almighty God. The Prince of Peace. The Rose of Sharon.
Rachotola.
You are the Almighty Creator.
Yes, you are. Yes,
the name
you are.
That every knee shall bow to, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are the Alpha, you are the Omega.
Hallelujah.
You are the beginning, you are the
Hallelujah.
End. You are everything in between, oh
Hallelujah.
God. You are the Lion of the tribe of
yes,
Judah.
Lord.
You are the Almighty Jehovah. You are Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi. God, we call you who you are today. You are the healer, oh God.
Oh God.
You are the balm of Gilead,
oh
Jesus.
God.
Father, we thank you, God, that you know the beginning from the end, God. Father, look upon every broken heart in this
yes,
space
yes,
today, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Every woman who is aching, every man who is aching, all the pain, Jesus. We lift them before your throne of grace, oh God. Have mercy, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
May your healing power descend upon this place today. In the name of Jesus. May the anointing of God flow upon you right now. Healing, restoration, redemption. We speak peace to your soul. In the name of Jesus. God, you are able. You are able.
Able, Lord.
You are able.
Yes, you are.
You are able. Restore hope, oh God. Restore broken dreams, oh God. Give beauty for ashes, oh God. Let your power fall, Jesus. May the anointing, oh God, permeate every broken heart, oh God, every broken body. Bring your joy of our salvation, oh God. Restore to us that which the enemy has stolen. We thank you for your peace.
Thank you, Lord.
That passes all understanding, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for your hope. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence that is with us, that assures us.
Yes, 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 yes.
That you are with us, oh God. Your word says that they that know their God shall be strong on the inside and shall do exploits. And so we believe you for exploits today, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
That you would restore. That you would restore. That you would restore.
Amen.
In the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the MegaCon Experience. Connect with us on social media at CGMI Global on Facebook and Instagram.